Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 13th of August, recording at 9:19 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first a quick review of the week. In terms of stock markets, well, it's definitely been a downward bias for most stock markets, although not the ASEAN sector. They remain, and India remains remarkably steady, as do some of the Central and South American stock market indices. But for most markets, we have had a downward bias here, although a little bit steadier action today. Wall Street still closed with a tiny loss. Europe was mixed, and Asia was mixed today. But overall, a week of a reaction. Quite the opposite for long-dated government bond prices. They have been very strong. So yields have declined still further for government bonds. In currencies, the dollar's had a pretty good week. It's even rallied against the yen in the last couple of days, currently at 86.28 against the Japanese currency, amidst talk that Japan must do something, in which I played my modest role. Commodity markets, interesting, gold's been firm. It's been a good week for gold, and it is up again today at 12:15. And I was just saying it had been down to 12:10, but 12:15, up just $1.25 here today. Other precious metals are mostly a little steadier. I see platinum's down slightly. And industrial metals, well, they've seen some profit-taking, but not all that much over the course of the week. Copper, for instance, is currently at just above 327 cents. Now, in the soft commodities, the grain and bean complex has been generally firm, but it started the week with a consolidation, and we had a good day yesterday. Corn and particularly soybeans were up again today. Wheat was down a little bit. The sugar market was firm again today. That too had pulled back a bit earlier. Earlier in the week. So that's pretty much the picture. And what do we make of it all? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, the big theme is range-bound for the majority of stock markets, and certainly Wall Street and most of the European stock markets. Now, we have a strong group, which is broken up out of those ranging phases, and it really did so earlier on in the month, so back in July in some instances. And the ASEAN stock markets, for instance, and a number of those South American stock markets had uncoupled during the June sell-off in stock markets. So they weren't dragged down that we saw on Wall Street. So they weren't dragged down by Wall Street in June. And that was very interesting. I commented on that on a number of occasions. And then when Wall Street and many of the other world stock markets started to rally, and it was a good rally in August from their early July lows. Good rally from the early July lows. A number of those strong stock markets, India, the ASEAN stock markets, led by Thailand, Philippines, Indonesia, pushed through to new high gains and some worthwhile gains for most of them. And they're holding up now during this reaction that we've seen so far. Now, if Wall Street goes straight down through its July reaction lows, I think they'll all get reined in by the leash effect. But that's by no means a certainty here. I feel, as you know, I've been saying, I don't think it's a great time for a lot of grandstanding extreme forecasts. This is when there are enough uncertainty factors that I want to hunker down and just focus really on the technical action. As you know, I've got a short position open now, a hedge short position in the S&P, which is protected with a break-even stop now. So I think this reaction, it'll be over when we see some evidence that it's over in the form of an upward dynamic, and prior to that, probably some sort of technical oversold condition on the stochastics. We haven't got that yet, so I assume that this reactive phase is going to continue for a little while longer, carry into next week at least. Now, overall, it's just extending the ranging action that we have seen for so many of these stock markets. Now, again, as far as the overall additional background is concerned, people are very worried about what they see as the deflationary pressures in the U.S. economy. There's some deflation and there's a lot more disinflation. I don't want to sound like a pedant in pointing that out, but there's a big difference. If house prices are coming off record highs after an obvious bubble and they're moving lower, that to me is not deflation, that's disinflation. On the other hand, if you have stubborn unemployment and it's still rising over time, that can certainly be a deflationary factor. Now, so that's what people are worried about and talking about deflation every single day on Wall Street, and that's partly a rationalization for bond positions. It's causing them to continue to sell equity mutual funds and to put more money into bond funds. My feeling is that that's a contrary indicator, because I feel that the equities offer better value here today, particularly the high yielders, and I've reviewed more of them here again today. And that looks to me like an extremely attractive area. Whereas I don't think the valuations are all that good in the bond market unless you really are convinced that we're going the route of Japan's deflation. I'm not convinced by that by any means. It's a possibility. I will readily acknowledge it's been a possibility all along. But we've got the number one expert on deflation and how to avoid it running the Fed, and I think it would be premature to underestimate the effectiveness of those policies. What concerns me is the trade-off that if he does succeed, and I think one of them will be inflationary pressures. Now, this is not just due to Bernanke's policies, but an awful lot of money is being printed. That's the obvious point. But we also have a situation in which commodity inflation is certainly going to revive again. We've already seen some of it. And even if correlation with stock markets during a period of underperformance, even if that were to weigh on rallies in commodity markets, the moment these moribund Western economies start to do better, I think prices are actually going to take off. Now, that would be industrial commodities. The food commodities are really more determined by supply, and that has a great deal to do, more to do with weather than anything else. And we've certainly seen some turbulent weather conditions in here, which have disrupted a number of crop cycles. The grain and bean complex is an obvious one. Sugar is firming once again. Rough rice in Asia, prices aren't high, but they're starting to turn back upwards once again. I feel that we're not that far away from a situation that could be quite inflationary in terms of food prices, and there's not an economist on the planet that I'm aware of who's actually talking about that. And I think that if we were to see a real bout of food price inflation, I'm not saying we will, but it's because there may be enough holdover stockpiles for some of these commodities to head that off for a while longer. But overall, if I were a betting man, I would be saying that prices for wheat, corn, and soybeans are going to go higher, and rough rice as well. And that guarantees a little bit of commodity price inflation. The question is whether we're going to see a lot of food price, I should say food price inflation. The question is whether we will see a lot of food price inflation. I hope not, but it's a risk. Now, one commodity has taken a step backwards. The most important commodity of all by far is crude oil, and that's fallen $10 over the last week and a bit, and that's taken off the upward pressure. Gas, natural gas prices are also comfortably low, so that's taken some of the steam out of energy costs overall. But I wouldn't want to be complacent about that in terms of it lasting. And again, if we have half the world showing good growth, those are the progressing economies, and the OECD economies, for the most part, are quite weak, and we still have generally firm crude oil prices, it doesn't take too much imagination to think what might happen when those moribund OECD economies start to perform more strongly. Now, that's not an immediate prospect, but it's something that will happen, if not over the medium term, certainly over the longer term. And the most dangerous thing for the global economy, and therefore stock markets, of anything going, would be a big spike, another big spike in the crude oil price. Now, that's not an immediate prospect, I quickly say, but it'll happen somewhere out there. Meanwhile, I think that the news is mostly good in terms of, certainly in terms of monetary policy, which remains accommodative. And you can bet that monetary policy in the Asian stock markets or in the Asian economies would be tighter were it not for the fact that rates are so low in Europe and the USA. And some of that money, as Owen's been pointing out recently, is going to slosh around and find its way into equity markets. And that's what we've seen. So that background is supportive. Valuations in equities are, I think, quite reasonable. And therefore, I feel that we're on schedule to have a decent fourth quarter this year, but right now we're still in this ranging pattern overall. And to feel confident about my fourth quarter hypothesis, I really would like to see the July lows hold, particularly on Wall Street. I think they will, but I can, but that's as much of a hunch and a hope as anything else. We'll see what the price action does. I said at the beginning of my stock market discussion that markets were still in retreat here, and we have yet to see the upward dynamics and clear oversold conditions that would be conducive to another look at the higher side of the ranges. Now, if we get any of the food price inflation, which I've been talking about, that would, I think, make those long-dated government bond yields even more risky. But at the moment, it's still a momentum trade, and it's supported by quantitative easing. And it is also supported, as I've said in every one of these broadcasts, pretty much, it's also supported by the recapitalization of the banks through the yield curve. In other words, they can borrow cheaply at the discount window in the U.S., for instance, and borrow at very, very favorable rates, and leverage it up in the longer-term government bond market, knowing that the Fed is continuing its quantitative easing, and therefore it's free money. Nice situation. Okay. And some other major investors are playing that trade as well, clearly from the price action. What else to mention? What about gold? Well, I said that it had been a good week here for gold. We're mostly through the period of seasonal underperformance for gold bullion. The traditional buying that we tend to get in the run-up to Christmas, the Indian wedding season, the Chinese New Year, well, with gold at these prices and the U.S. economy so weak, I don't think you'll see much demand coming in from the U.S. But China, certainly. And India, quite probably. And gold is well established now in the eyes of any investor with any common sense as a monetary metal. And it's not one that can be printed into oblivion, as we've seen with so many of these fiat currencies. Read Tim Price's piece, his letter that I posted last night, if you're interested in some further monetary history. It's a very, very good letter. Okay, what else to mention here? You know, I think that's pretty much it. I think I've covered the main points. Well, no, not entirely. Let's see. I think that the chances of Japan finally doing something, in other words, this somnambulant government finally is pressured to act to weaken the yen, I think that's real. And there's a very good piece that I'll be posting shortly after the broadcast called "What Do They Have to Lose?" by a Forex expert. I think his surname is Giggs. Can't remember the first name, but based with RBS in Sydney. A superb piece that I commend to you. And the U.S. dollar can be steady-ish while stock markets are in retreat, but I think it will tend to be a bit vulnerable thereafter. The euros had a bigger setback this week. First, it had rallied very persistently over the previous 8 or 9 weeks or so, and there are a few renewed concerns about some of the southern European bond rates, not least Greece's. And I think that's pretty much it, though. It's an interesting time, and I will actually miss commenting on all the activities next week. I do enjoy this business, but I'm taking a break. I'll be on holiday, thinking of you. Part of the time, I will. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.